Morning. Good to see everybody. We're excited for the youth conference. I'm sure you are all excited as well. It's great to be in the new church building here. It was much bigger than it looked in the pictures, so we're excited for this. Thanks for Pastor Jimenez for having us. It's always great to be here. I brought a toy this morning, so I brought a contraption for you. Before we get into the Bible, keep your place in 2 Chronicles chapter number 24, and my voice is leaving me, so hopefully it will stay with us. But I brought a toy this morning, and the toy, what it is, it's a contraption, I guess, is better a better way of putting it. But it's a small platform. As you can see, the platform has a hole in the center of it, and then at the bottom of the hole are these two little rails, and these rails kind of curve back towards the platform. And what this toy does is, it's actually, I have a little steel ball that's going to come along with the toy. And the steel ball is fitted just for the size of the hole. And I hope you can all see this. The steel ball is right here. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to put the steel ball inside the platform, and it's going to fall down the hole along the rails. Then it's just going to flip back up, back into the platform. So let's see if we can get that going there. As you can see that, takes a little while. There we go. Pretty neat little toy, huh? Now, as you can see, the rails are curved backwards, so when the weight of the ball falls down, it curves the ball back towards the platform, and it flips back to the top of the platform, and the whole process simply repeats itself, simply from the weight of the ball. Does anybody have a problem with the things that I just told you right now? Does anyone seem like this is odd? Raise your hand if you think that it's odd that this is working this way. Come on up here. You can inspect my contraption here, okay? You can't touch it, but you can look at it, all right? It's definitely working, as I told you. It's flipping the ball up into the, it's, you know, it falls down into the hole, and it flips it back up in there. What's odd about it?
There's a button on the side.
Oh, that's just, that's actually not a button. That's just a little piece of something. But
well, I would say friction. It should be losing energy with friction every time.
Correct. How high is it flipping the ball?
Pretty high.
It's actually flipping the ball higher than the ball started, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely a powered device. Okay, so good job. Thank you. All right, so it's definitely a powered device. It wouldn't make any sense that this would work. This would be called, if this wasn't a powered device and it was working this way, it would be called a perpetual motion machine, which doesn't exist. All right? So if I turn it off, you can see that's how it works. It barely makes it halfway up the rail if I shut it off. And that's because what the young man just said, friction, there's all these different forces that happen. A perpetual motion machine, a machine that is powered by itself, is impossible. It can't exist, all right? Because as it goes down the rails, as the weight of the ball goes down the rails, it actually, it contacts the rails. It actually heats the rails. There's energy lost in heat, and then it just takes energy out of the ball. Even the ball coming across the air in the room is slowing the ball down. That's why you can see when it's not on, it barely makes it even a third of the way up the rails. But it's a neat little device anyway. So the point is this. Perpetual motion is not possible in the physical world today, all right? I mean, it's not possible anywhere. It's not possible with this little contraption. My wife and family and I were talking on the way here. We're just talking about creation. We're talking about, you know, California is really beautiful right now. There's all kinds of trees and flowers. We're talking about how just symmetrical, you know, the creation is and how great of an artist God is. But none of this works without energy. If you take a tree and you stop the energy from the sun, you don't give water to the tree, you don't put energy into that tree, it will stop growing. If you don't put energy into anything, it will stop. Even things that we can make, contraptions, machines, try to run your car without adding energy to your car, and eventually your car will stop. Your body is the same way. If you don't add energy to your body, you will die. That's why you drink and you eat food. You're adding energy to your body. So if you don't add energy to things, things stop. That's the way everything in the physical world works. So this morning I'm going to show you that not only the physical world works this way, but the spiritual world works this way as well. So in the Bible story that we saw in 2 Chronicles chapter number 24, we see a story of this young king named Joash. this young king named Joash, he is saved by this priest who happens to be his uncle. This King Joash, I mean, you think your family has problems. This King Joash is his grandmother, like, murdered all the grandchildren, and Jehoiada, this uncle and his aunt, ended up saving him, and he becomes king through the help of the prophet Jehoiada. So Jehoiada walks with Joash, and that's what we see in the beginning of 2 Chronicles chapter 24. There's many good things happening in Joash's life. Look down at 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and look at verse number 15. But the problem is, things go well when Jehoiada's there, but Jehoiada gets old. And look at verse number 15. It says, Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and towards his house. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, and the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. 2 Kings chapter 12 puts it this way. It says this. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read it for you. It says in verse number 2, it says, And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all of the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So the lesson this morning is this. The lesson this morning is this, to the teenagers especially. Look, this applies to everybody's spiritual life, but it's especially applicable to you because of the critical point that you are in your life. The first point is this, is that somebody put energy into you. Somebody put energy into you. How do I know? Because you're here. That's how I know. You're here. That means somebody has put some amount of energy into you. I mean, look, Jehoiada definitely put energy into Joash, for sure. But somebody brought you here. Somebody brings you to church. Somebody is teaching you these things from the Bible. I know you have parents. I know you have a pastor. I know you have these things. These people are putting energy into you in your life. I know your pastor puts a lot of energy into you. I know that for sure. But the problem is this. Your spiritual life, and this is a problem with teenagers everywhere, not just here, but you have to understand that your spiritual life is not a perpetual motion machine. Your spiritual life will not just run on its own without any energy being put into it. This is true for everybody, but it's especially critical for you, because with teenagers, there's this handoff that should be taking place. There's this transfer of energy responsibility, I guess you could say, that should be taking place. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24 if you have a Bible in front of you. Again, it's no less true for adults, but with teenagers, it's so critical because of the handoff that's taking place. The analogy is this. I mean, if you've ever seen a relay race, if you've ever seen a relay race and you see, you know, somebody running a relay race and they're handing off a baton, you know, the person that, you know, there's three ways that could go, all right? The person is running full speed towards the next leg of the relay, and they could hand it to the person that's sitting down and just sitting there, and then that person would have to get up and start moving on their own. I guess that's one way that could happen, but that's not going to work. You will never win a relay race if you run that way. You know, the other way that it could go is you could grab the baton. The baton could be given to you. You could grab the baton and you could run the wrong direction. That's one way that it could go. But again, you're not going to win any races if you operate that way. The way it is supposed to work, and if you've ever seen it, like at the Olympic level or just even a highly competitive level, is somebody is running up, and as they're getting ready to come to the person, the other person starts running nearly as fast, and they match speed, and the handoff takes place perfectly, and then as they are match speed, the other person takes the baton, this person slows down, and the other person keeps going full speed. Usually faster, by the way. Especially if it's the last leg of the race. You always put the fastest guy on the last leg of the race. But the problem with this Bible story is Joash, he never started moving on his own. He never started moving at all. He was simply relying on Jehoiada, the whole time. For decades, by the way. So as a teenager this morning, you should think about, when you think about this story, you should think about, you know, do you have a desire for spiritual things in your life? Your own desire. I mean, are you building your own desire for the things of God? That's a question that you should be asking yourself as you go from 13 to 19. You should be gaining speed in your spiritual life. Do you have a love for church? If all your buddies weren't going to be at church, would you still want to go there on your own? Would you still have that desire to go and hear the Word of God preached? These are things that you should be checking yourself on as a teenager. This is a critical time in your life. You need to be coming up to speed. Are you a soul winner? I mean, you're all at least 13. Are you a soul winner? If not, why not? Do you have the desire? Do you have the concern for the lost? Or are you just concerned about fellowship and things like this? You should have a concern, a heart that is soft for the lost, unsaved people in this world. You should start to feel that yourself. You should start coming up to speed on those things. Reading and learning the Word of God. Look, as a teenager, you should be reading and learning the Word of God. You should have this desire because that is what has the answers for your entire life that's in front of you. Your entire life that is in front of you, the answers for what God wants from you are in the Word of God. You should have a desire for it. You should have a drive for it. Just look, just a spiritual life in general. And look, as you start, are you in Proverbs chapter 24? Look at verse number 10. See, this was the problem with Joash right here. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Joash had no strength. He was not moving. As soon as any small adversity came in the form of just simple advice of the wrong kind, he folded. He fell apart immediately. His strength was small. His strength was nothing. He was not moving on his own. As you start gaining your own speed, as you start, you know, getting those desires, you're going to gain that strength. You know, the Bible says that, you say, where from? What kind of energy do I need? Well, the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful. That's where your energy ultimately comes from. And once you're at speed, and once that baton is in your hand, we need to take this next lesson from Joash, which is this. If you look back at 2 Chronicles 24, verse 17, look how simple it was. Look how easy it was to stop him and get him going in the wrong direction because he wasn't moving in the correct direction. Look at verse 17. It says, now after the death of Jehoiada, notice nobody messed with him when Jehoiada was around. After the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king, and the king hearkened to them. It doesn't say he debated with them. He just listened to these fools and went in the wrong direction and undid all the good things that he had done in the last 30 years of his life. He is the one that took the baton and he ran the wrong direction because he had no strength. And he failed to recognize the wrong type of energy. So that's the next thing that you need to understand as you start gaining strength, gaining speed in your spiritual life. You need to recognize the wrong type of energy in your life. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Look, there's plenty of. I was a teenager many, many decades ago. But no adult in this room is unaware of the bad influences that are coming after the teenagers in our country today. So we understand what is pulling at you. But you, and look, and your parents and your pastor and your church leaders are going to do the best that they possibly can to warn you and preach to you and keep you away from that bad energy. But you need to start to gain strength yourself to protect against that bad energy. I mean, you just think about, I mean, everything on the internet today, everything on the music today, the internet and social media today. There's bad energy everywhere out there. The princes of Judah are everywhere today. They're everywhere in your life. Now look at Proverbs 13:20. The Bible says this. It says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." See, look, this machine is cool. I mean, this is cool, but you know what? It also has a USB-C port. So what you need to understand from this is you need to be careful about the type of people that you are plugged into. You need to be careful about the type of energy that you are plugged into. Because look, even secular science has figured this out. They've done all kinds of studies to show that, you know, look, people are going to try to add energy to you out there. And they're going to add energy to you to the wise or to the fool. It's going to go one of those ways. But even secular studies show, have you ever heard the statement, you are the sum of your friends? That's true. They've literally studied groups of people on every level, and that is true. You are the sum of your friends. They've studied everything from income levels to intelligence to crime statistics. You are the sum of your friends. And that's exactly what Proverbs 13:20 is saying. You're the sum. Why? Because you're feeding energy. You're taking energy from those types of people. Here's a thought experiment for you this morning, teenagers. Think of the biggest fool that you know. I mean, just think about it. Don't yell a name or anything. But think of the most foolish person, I'll just be careful with what I say, that you know. Now think of who they're hanging around. The most foolish person, the person that's just constantly getting in trouble. The person that you know that you've known maybe about or whatever, or from some other outside organization that is just, they're constantly doing the wrong thing. Now, who are they hanging out with? I'll tell you, the answer is one of two things. The answer is either nobody, hopefully, or other fools. Because fools attract fools. And if you just thought of that most foolish person in your mind and you thought of your best friend, maybe you should reevaluate some things this morning. Maybe that's the point of the sermon for you. But the point is this, folks. Wicked people attract wicked people. Foolish people attract foolish people. Prideful people attract prideful people. Who else could stand to be around prideful people than other prideful people? Greedy people attract greedy people. So if you thought of that fool and you're like, well, that is my friend. Well, you know, get smarter friends. Amen. Miserable people attract miserable people. And if miserable people attract you, they will turn you into a miserable person. You see how this works? Sinful people attract sinful people. I get we're all sinners. I get that. But people that just love sin and that are into sin, they want people with them in those same sins. Because, see, it makes them feel better about what they're doing if there's many people around them. They're literally, if you see a bunch of, drunken fools or whatever, that group of people, they're literally using each other. They're not friends. They're just using each other to justify each other's sin. That's what that group of fools is all about. They all find each other. That's what Proverbs 13, verse 20 is saying. So look, just to sum things up, you need to start spiritually moving on your own. Be careful of the influences around you. And let me just give you one last thing to think about this morning. Don't forget I hate to reduce your pastor and your parents to a AA battery, but don't forget the original boost that got you here. You say, why is it important to remember that? Don't forget those who put energy into you. And the reason that you shouldn't forget those that put energy into you is because then you will realize how important it is for those that come up after you that they need energy put into them as well. Because guess what, folks? You know the whole how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, when we're gone, that's you. There's all these people out here that need energy put into them. They need somebody to carry that energy to their door. They need somebody to carry that energy to them. It's an energy that most people in this world, they don't even know it exists, this word of God. There's no such thing as perpetual motion. Physically or spiritually, everything takes energy. Look, I'm really glad that God gave us Jesus Christ to get us that far. But your Christian life going forward, to accomplish anything great in this Christian life, and look, you're just starting out, and if you start moving and you start putting the right type of energy into people and letting the right type of people put energy into you and letting the Word of God put energy into you and start running on your own, you can accomplish great things in this Christian life. Much more than any of us could. Get this right now. Start moving now. And look, it'll be worthwhile. But it takes effort. Salvation doesn't take effort. But your Christian life takes effort. And it takes the right kind of effort. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this youth conference. Lord, I pray that you bless this conference. I pray that you bless these young people, Lord. I pray that you just help them start just developing and growing and just give them that desire for your word, that desire for this Christian life. Help them to have a great time with their friends and the right type of energy this week, Lord. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the leaders here. We thank you for this youth rally. What a blessing it is. Lord, we love you. We ask that you just bless the next couple of days. In Jesus' name we pray.